Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. Now as we enter the deep abyss of the offseason, August is around the corner, but we are still here. The Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, here to answer your mailbag questions and all brought to you by our friends at Boston Paintball. They have been doing this paintball thing for decades, starting out in the shadows of the Boston Garden and now here for you in three Massachusetts locations. We'll talk more about them in a minute. First, we asked you to hashtag Rain and Jays your tweets with questions. And oh boy, did you. Lots of questions, Jay. Let's do it. You ready? Strapped in. Let's do it. I'm going to just start at the top and roll on down. From JB at DeBartolome Boys, I guess. Couple of questions. Starting with, do you think IT will be the same next year or will he regress because of Hayward? Will Gordon Hayward impact Isaiah Thomas's overall production? We talked a little bit about last night. Will he impact the overall production of Isaiah Thomas?
I don't think so. I think, as I said last night, it's a really good partnership. It is Gordon Hayward among all All-Stars is one of, I think, the best fits for Isaiah Thomas and for what the Celtics need. Kind of in a similar way to Al Horford, who just fit their style because of all he did for that team. And like the way he's really selfless and doesn't need the ball all the time. Gordon Hayward's kind of a similar type of player. So I think it makes the partnership makes perfect sense. The only thing I think the only reason why I think Isaiah Thomas could regress is because he was ludicrously good for like three months out of last season and just outrageously good. So there's a chance he's not as good as he was last season. I think Hayward has a chance to even lift Isaiah's efficiency. He won't be relied on quite as much as he was last season. But I don't think there's any fear, at least for me, that the partnership will not work or will fail or should even cause a lot of issues or friction. To me, like, those two guys are very, very good fits with each other because of the way they can just both do so many things offensively. And like, Isaiah's great off the ball. Isaiah's a great spot-up shooter. Isaiah can go to the hole. And Gordon Hayward, the thing about him that makes him such a great fit anywhere, he's just super versatile. He can be used as a pick-and-roll ball handler. He can be used as a spot-up guy. He can be used in the post. Like, you can just use him in whatever way possible. So I'm very high on the possibility of those two guys really kind of thriving together and bringing out the best in each other.
Here's why I don't think Isaiah Thomas will regress. Maybe his production will look a little kind of not as prolific, maybe raw numbers wise, because
like we said in yesterday's show, maybe he'll be sitting more in fourth quarters where he did so much of his damage that hopefully, and this is a hopeful statement, hopefully they won't need Isaiah to do as much in the fourth quarter with Gordon Hayward around, because they will have done enough going up to that point where now they can sit and enjoy the end of a game and not need Isaiah Thomas to go nuts. But beyond that, there are a couple of things. That having a guy like Hayward around only serves to open up the floor a little bit more. Hayward, I just saw a statistic today, from the left corner shot 52%. So you stick Hayward in the corner and have him space the floor, just that alone gives you more space than having other people out there. Even Avery Bradley, who was a really good three-point shooter, you cannot, absolutely cannot leave Gordon Hayward out there. And then, on top of that, he just makes, not only does he make Isaiah better, he won't be sharing the floor with Isaiah, like we said yesterday, all the time anyway. So Isaiah will still get to do his thing. Hayward will then be staggered for a bunch of the game, and then they'll kind of like play in sparingly together, and then at the end they'll play together again. So I think Isaiah will still get to do a lot of the things he did last year. When they're on the floor together, they'll help each other out a lot, and when they're not, they'll both be able to create because they're both really good at creating. So I don't think that really hurts Isaiah Thomas at all. Another question: do you think Semi or the Dancing Bear can come close to what Draymond is for the Warriors?
No.
Maybe not. Definitely not now. Maybe someday. You never know. Maybe someday.
Come on, man.
Well, look.
I mean,
I'm not saying. Look, Draymond was a second round
always,
pick. Draymond was a second round pick.
The smallest
you never
chance.
Know. But it's,
there's always the smallest chance. Come on. Like, Semi Ojeleye is like he's going to be an adequate player. He can move his feet and he can shoot threes and he'll be fine. But let's not put the Draymond Green comparison on any of these dudes, especially Yabusele, who I watched play in the D League and could not guard. Defense will be an issue for him when he comes into the NBA. Do not compare him to the Defensive Player of the Year. Do not even come close to doing any of that. Let's stay away from all Draymond Green comparisons. Draymond Green is one of the most unique players in NBA history. He can guard five positions. He can do so many things. He helps the team in so many ways. These guys are rookies.
Right,
slow
right,
it down,
right.
Man.
I think the only reason that question is even asked is, I think, mostly because of Ojeleye, is that he's a guy that people thought might have gone in the first round, dropped to the second round. He's a little undersized, but we saw him in summer league switch off to guard bigger guys, and he can hit the three. So I can see people having wild fantasies about that. Let's just kind of table that. It's not going to happen. But I can understand why the question gets asked. Let's just, if it happens, great. I can see a slight path that maybe that happens, great. But let's not just, let's let Ojeleye and Yabusele just become an awesome tag team of, you know, crazy brute strength and fun for the next few days, next few years.
Hey, there's always a chance for a miracle, but let's calm down, fans out there.
Aaron Savoy at Buckner's Revenge. What is the likelihood that one of Rozier or Smart or both don't make it through next off season? I personally think Rozier is on thin ice, and because, not because necessarily of his play or anything yet, but next year, next summer, he's due $3 million in a team option, okay? Fine, not a lot, but you have to pay Isaiah Thomas, you have to pay Marcus Smart. If they are going to pay those two guys, and there's interesting possibilities with those two guys, you still have to pick up Jaylen Brown's option, which they will almost certainly do. I can't imagine how they wouldn't. You still have Tice, Nader, Ojeleye, non-guaranteed next year. Those guys are all making just under $1.4 million. They may all get picked up. We don't know. Lots of hype around those guys. Rozier, if the Celtics are flirting with the tax and he's not going to fill the need and they can draft a point guard if they get the possibility of, you know, a top five pick and they can draft a point guard, they might just say, see ya, Terry Rozier. We're going to draft your replacement and get more upside that way. So if Terry Rozier comes out and has the same season he had last year, I think he's done. I do think they keep Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I think they'll keep Smart. I wouldn't say Rozier's on thin ice. I think a lot of the people in the Celtics organization believe in him. I think the people you talk to, a lot of people are really high on Terry Rozier and Terry Rozier's ceiling and what Terry Rozier could potentially do. And obviously we saw flashes of it in the playoffs. He was a lot better in the postseason than he was during the regular season. I'm interested to see what happens with him this year, because obviously Isaiah Thomas is going to play a lot of minutes and Marcus Smart is going to play a lot of minutes. And they just brought in Shane Larkin, who has a fully guaranteed contract. We'll see if he makes the final roster, but obviously like they wanted to bring in Larkin and they consider him somebody who could potentially at least push for a roster spot. So where does Terry Rozier fit in all of this? I don't know. And part of it will be, can he become a better finisher? Can he become a better shooter? Because last year in the regular season, his shooting percentages were really bad. I do think he shows a lot of potential, and if he can just like calm it down with the finishing and not try to do too much and kind of learn to pick his openings, which he's shown there have been stretches where he does that. I think confidence might be an issue with him, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I could see it going either way with him. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he emerges and has a nice season, because there is a nice skill set and a nice place to start from for him. But he's got some things to prove. After really, like, his regular season wasn't good. His playoffs were really good. So that was more optimistic.
Let's get into more of the Smart things. We've got a few questions, so let me rip off a few of these tweets here. At Patrick S1591, will the Celtics be able to re-sign Smart to an extension, or does he go into restricted free agency to test the market? Another question, what teams, this is from Ward at E Pankowski. What teams do you think could pursue Marcus Smart in restricted free agency next year? What do you expect the market to be like? Chris O'Brien asks, a Smart shot 35.9, 28.3, 81.2 last season, making 94 of 330. How much does he need to improve these to have a successful year? And at DeLu with the EAUX, who goes by the name Shimmy Shimmy Na, Celtics re-sign Thomas. I love it. Celtics re-sign Thomas to $20-25 million per year deal. Do you think they let Smart walk with Rozier as the de facto backup? So, with all of those things in mind, I saw today on ESPN.com a piece by Tim McMahon and Bobby Marks. They looked at next summer as for free agency, and basically was deemed as like the money's basically going to dry up, and there are only a few teams and a lot of big name free agents out there. Along with Isaiah, there's LeBron, Durant, Chris Paul, Paul George, Westbrook, Cousins, DeAndre Jordan. All of those guys are out there, and there are teams like LA, Chicago, Philly, and Atlanta with cap space. So the Celtics are not going to let Isaiah Thomas go, but there's no reason to pay him short. Let's leave out the personal offending him or whatever thing. There's no reason to pay him $30 million a year. The market, I don't think, is going to dictate Isaiah gets $30 million a year.
We'll see, though.
Unless
all it takes is one team.
It does. It does. And Chicago could throw a ton of money at him. Philly won't throw any money at him. They've got their point guard situation set. Atlanta, I don't think they're going to throw any money at him. They've got Schroeder, right? They're kind of set with their I don't know, maybe not.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if they threw a max deal at Isaiah Thomas when the whole Thomas Schroeder beef has been such a thing? That would be hilarious.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be? That would be really funny, actually.
I would enjoy the comedy of that.
Chicago, I can see Chicago screwing things up and throwing a max offer his way. Because they're Chicago, and nothing that they do makes any sense. There's no reason for them to do that, but they could. The Lakers are obviously not going to be in any sort of point guard hunt. They've got Lonzo Ball. They're set. So, and I don't think, look, the Lakers, if they go for anybody, it'd be Westbrook or Paul George. If Westbrook wants to leave, maybe he'll take somebody's money. I think Isaiah Thomas, you can back up the Brinks truck and give him $20 to $25 million a year. It's not the max, but it's still, once upon a time, that was the max. And that's still Brinks truck for him. And they, in this scenario, on this ESPN piece, put Isaiah as an assumption at $25 million and Marcus Smart at $13 million. Smart's number is really interesting to me because, to answer the question about him going into free agency, I think the Celtics are going to look at the tea leaves and they're going to say there's no reason to extend him unless he agrees to something less than $13 million. If he agrees to that, fine. But if not, they can let him get into free agency. I think everybody sees what's happening. The money is not going to be there next summer. It's really not. And unless Chicago does something stupid and throws max money at Marcus Smart, then what are you going to do? You have to let Marcus Smart walk because you're not paying him max money.
And I will say, restricted free agency can be very unpredictable. Like,
it is.
Especially
true.
Teams lurking. Like, look at what the Brooklyn Nets have done the last couple of years. Like, they gave a huge offer sheet to Allen Crabbe, who really wasn't very good. They gave, obviously, a max offer sheet.
Yeah, but they got him anyway.
They gave a max offer sheet to Otto Porter. So, all it takes is one team to kind of drive things. For some other restricted free agents, the market dries up. Like, Nerlens Noel still hasn't signed. Nerlens Noel is still out there unsigned right now as a restricted free agent of the Dallas Mavericks. So it all depends, like, which teams decide we should throw a lot of money at this guy and try to lure him away. Because any team that does chase a restricted free agent has to throw enough money at him to make the other team think, maybe we should let him go. So restricted free agency, always unpredictable. I do think there's not a huge risk of Marcus Smart playing himself into, like, this monster contract, I think. So unless he signs a bargain deal, I agree they may not extend him, but we'll see. Because, like, what if he becomes a good shooter this year and then all of a sudden his value skyrockets? Or,
well,
you know,
that's a good question.
And then the Celtics will probably be fine with it. Like, sweet, he's a good shooter now. We'll pay him more.
Right.
They're not gonna have cap space regardless. The Isaiah thing, we'll see. I think the more key thing with Isaiah from the Celtics' perspective will probably be the years on the contract, the amount of years. I think they'll be fine paying him a big chunk of money for when he's 29, 30, 31. I think when a 5'9" point guard gets to 32, 33, even though right now he hasn't played a lot of minutes, I think there are very few historic comparisons. I've talked about this before. There just aren't a lot of guys who fit Isaiah Thomas's profile in the history of the NBA, especially in this current era of the NBA where everybody takes such good care of their bodies. And Isaiah Thomas is known as somebody who, like, he spends night and day planning to be great at basketball and working to be great at basketball, whether it's eating, sleeping, like he has made a lot of changes to his lifestyle, or just he's very committed to his body and everything like that. So there's optimism that maybe he'll age better than some other smaller guards. And also he's a lot better than any other less than 6 foot player who's probably ever played the game. So we'll see, but I do think the Celtics would much prefer that to be a smaller contract because of the risk that on the tail end of that contract, Isaiah Thomas is not quite what he is now or even takes a precipitous drop.
I think if they can get him in that average annual value of between 20 and 25 million, then I would be happy to go 4 years plus an option year with at that money, if you go 4 years, or if you give a 5 year value of $130 million, I'm happy with that. And even if you make the 5th year player option, I'm fine with that. I'm fine. You get at least 3 Isaiah years out of that. You get a 4th year probably at, even if it's reduced, fine. And then if you get a 5th year of, then you can stretch him or whatever, then that's fine. I think if you can get him at that, I guess a bargain for a guy that could command 30 plus million, I would do that. So if Marcus Smart, I think the numbers support the possibility, not probability, the possibility of him eventually finding his stroke to shoot 80%+ from the line. That's good. Okay? That's a good free throw shooter. So if you can't shoot, you can't hit your free throws. So he does that. And I keep talking about Marcus Smart's corner threes. He shoots corner threes at an above average clip. So we know that from that distance, he can be good. So to me, if he gets that shot selection down, he can be pretty good. He can find himself in a good spot. I don't know about the extension. I think the Celtics will do what they've done historically with a guy like Smart, and that's let it get to free agency, kind of float the word out there that they're willing to match and scare teams off, and then in the end, you kind of try to sign Marcus Smart to a slightly below market value deal, and then we get into the type of player that we were talking about last night where you have a good role player playing for less money that he probably should make, and now you've managed your cap very nicely. So that's what I think the Celtics are going to try to do with Marcus Smart.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10, select styles only.
Okay, let's move on. The Gunkster. Fill in the blank. The season for the Celtics is a failure if... Jay?
If they don't make progress. and if they don't figure out how to maximize Isaiah Thomas, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford. And if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum stagnate or don't show too much. And if... like one of their key guys gets hurt or Isaiah Thomas's hip doesn't let him be Isaiah Thomas. That would be the ways I could see this season becoming less than what they hope. They're in a really good spot though, and it's tough for me to see them being a failure this year. Even if some things go poorly, like there is just a lot going right for the Boston Celtics right now.
I agree. I will tell you how your summer season will be a failure if you don't go to Boston Paintball. That's how your summer season can be a failure. Go to Boston Paintball, take your group, and get out to one of their 3 Massachusetts locations and have a lot of fun because they know how to make fun happen. They've been doing it since 1992 when they got started in the shadow of the old Boston Garden over on Causeway Street, opened by Celtics fans, here for Celtics fans, a local business. Support them by going to either Chelsea for indoor night play, Maynard for outdoor competition in Woods Ball Fields, or Ashland for their 23 building apocalyptic cityscape with the hospital, airplane, and army deuce. You can take your little league team because kids as young as 8 can play Splatmaster. You can take your Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts. They can go out there and play the low impact classic paintball for groups that are 10 plus. Or you can get your bachelor party, your reunion, your picnic, your family reunion, whatever it is, you can go out there and play at one of their locations. You go to bostonpaintball.com to tour all three spots. You get a video tour so you can pick out where you want to play first. And then you use the coupon code GREEN and you get $50 off a group package. So bostonpaintball.com. Use the coupon code GREEN. You get $50 off a group package. Let them know you heard it on the Locked On Celtics podcast. And they will probably talk Celtics with you because they are owned and operated by Celtics fans. So it's going to be a great experience at any one of their three locations. Now, I will be just very blunt with the Celtics and the failure of their season. If they don't make it back to the conference finals, I will say that's a failure. Because they have clearly, I think, separated themselves into that second best team in the East. They are better than Washington. They are better than Toronto. They are better than Milwaukee. I think the Celtics have elevated themselves to a point where they should be an Eastern Conference finalist. And they should go out there, and if it's Cleveland, if they get their act together in Cleveland, or if it's somebody else, they should at least get to that level. So if they get bounced out of the playoffs, if everybody's healthy, and that's what happens, then I would say that's a failure. Because
what if they lose to Cleveland in round two?
Well, I guess, okay, that is an exception. I will give you that. I'll give you that exception. If Cleveland falls to, like, the third seed, you're saying, and the Celtics kind of match up with them and whatever. Okay, I can see that. If they lose to Cleveland, and because it's Cleveland did something ridiculous or rested everybody and it didn't work out that they got the top seed or the second seed, okay, I'll give you that exception. But they otherwise should get to the conference finals. I think that's a fair expectation.
What if Giannis becomes the best player, one of the top five best players in the world, and the Bucks become great? Like I find it tough to say it's a failure if you don't get to a certain place, because you never know what's going to happen with other teams. And
true. And look, we reserve the right as transactions are made to kind of change if Milwaukee makes a transaction, and if Giannis takes the leap and becomes the best player in the NBA, then, all right, things change a little bit, and you can sit there at the All-Star break and say, well, they've clearly become a better team, and that changes the dynamic. But as things are right now, at the moment, as currently constructed, I feel that way.
Brad Stevens would be disappointed in you, man. Worried about the results and not the process. It's tough.
I know. That brings us to a question from Justin Edwards at Justin GM. Okay. Where do you think Brad Stevens currently ranks in the top current coaches in the NBA?
It's tough for me. I've said this before. It's tough for me to rank coaches because they're all in such different situations. Every year is a different year. And I think coaches, depending on what their team is, what their roster is, have different strengths and sometimes are better, sometimes are worse. I think there are so many great coaches in the league. I think Brad Stevens is among the top tier of coaches. I think Greg Popovich is alone. I think behind Greg Popovich is a group of guys with Brad Stevens among them. And that's as specific as I'll get. He's up there, though. He's really good.
I will agree with that. I will say that, you know, it's hard to rank coaches for the exact reasons that you gave. That some guys are great coaches in tough situations. Like Brett Brown is a really good coach, and he's had the Sixers to deal with. He's a really good coach, and I think given a different circumstance, he would be better. So I will put Brad Stevens in the top, you know, I guess the top five, somewhere in that mix, I guess. I agree that Popovich is, I think he's behind Red, just like he's with Red as like the best coaches in history. He's ahead of Phil Jackson to me. And I just think he's just so historically great that there's just no real comparison. But Brad Stevens has the Pop seal of approval, and you know, Pop loves him, so I love him, and I'm gonna put him in that next mix as well. Let's see. At Mark Pacheco 71, what are the chances the Seas bolt 98.5 for EEI? 98.5 clearly doesn't have anyone who can talk hoop, and they hate the fans. I just wanted to read that last line. Sorry to break this news to you, but they're both owned by the same company now. So for Boston Sports Radio, either one, it's going to be the same thing. So wherever they feel like they can get the, I don't know, wherever they feel like they want to put them, they'll put them. But they're all the same company now. So
doesn't matter. The Raining Jays Locked On Celtics podcast is by far the best hoop talk
exactly.
in the city. So it doesn't matter who they're owned by. Just come listen to our podcast.
That's it. That's all you need to do. You just come listen to us. And I actually, as much as I sit here and shit on some of those hosts, I will gladly thank them for being terrible at NBA basketball and the Celtics, because that allows us to take the reins and say, look, the Raining Jays are the place to go listen to sports, to Celtics talk, because we know what the hell we're talking about, and they don't. So wherever the Celtics end up doesn't really matter. At Liam Hines 7, chances Al makes another All-Star game before the end of his career. I say really good. I think he makes it this coming season because the East is trash, and he will make it. I think the Celtics send Isaiah, Horford, and Hayward.
The East is trash. The Celtics are going to win a lot of games. And I think Horford, as the season went on last year, figured out a lot of things. I think in the playoffs, that was a preview of what he might be able to do with a full season, playing more of the five position, playing now in a system that he's been in for a full season. I think he's going to be really, really good
yep.
this coming year. I think to expect Al Horford to do a lot of impressive things. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's an All-Star this year. I would definitely bet on him being an All-Star again at some point.
I think Hayward is a starter. I think Isaiah is close, but he's got to contend. He's still got to contend. Let's assume that Kyrie is still in the East. You got to contend with Kyrie, who gets a ton of votes. With John Wall, who was awesome, with Kyle Lowry, who was awesome, with Kemba Walker, who's really good. Like, that's tough. So I still think Isaiah makes it. And then Horford, I agree with you. So there we are. Dylan Costello, thoughts on Daniel Tice's ceiling? Will he make the 15? I think he makes the roster, but I don't know a ton about him. Honestly, I've watched the same highlights that a lot of people have. He seems athletic. He seems like he can finish. He seems pretty good in the pick and roll. I haven't seen him step out a lot, but I've seen him hit the threes. I haven't seen how many he's missed. But the Celtics recently have said, and I think Austin Ainge has said, that Tice is ready to make the leap. And so whatever they say, I guess, but I haven't seen it. But I would expect that he does make the 15.
I'm excited. I'm intrigued, rather, to see what he does, because sounds like he's kind of a little bit like Jonas Jerebko, where he can switch a little bit. He's athletic. He's tough. He can step out to the line and shoot threes, but he's not necessarily like the best three-point shooter in the world. We'll see what he gives. He didn't have like super impressive stats in Germany, but he was the defensive player of the year in his league. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm not convinced he'll be a contributor. I have no idea who's going to make the roster of the last few guys on the roster. 16 guaranteed contracts, again, for 15 spots. So there will be some competition. I don't think there's an obvious answer right now.
I love end-of-bench competition discussion. I mean, that's just – I love this part of the year. It's so awesome. Last year was RJ Hunter versus Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, last year.
Hunter versus James Young.
Yep. And now they're both gone. So who knows what the hell's going to happen. Jared White at J.I. Rude 85. Your thoughts on acquiring Jamichael Green in a side and trade with Memphis? Not going to happen because he's a restricted free agent. The Celtics have no cap space to even make him an offer. And even if they said, all right, you sign him to this number, and he said, I want to go to Boston, what's that number going to be? Is it going to be $8 million, $7 million, $10 million? What are you going to start giving up? The Celtics really don't have the numbers to give up for another swingman. You got to start packaging some of these other guys. It's just the numbers don't work. It just doesn't make sense. So personally, he's not a bad player, but it's just I don't see any way that that could possibly happen. Moving on.
I'll just let you speak for that one, man.
Yeah, I figured as much. All right. Shane Cross. Brad said Zizic wasn't used right in Summer League early on. How do you see Brad using Zizic? He also used the hashtag Zizic accent. I don't know what Zizic accent is, but how do we see Brad Stevens using Zizic, if at all? And I wonder if he's going to get many minutes, but I think if anything, he's going to be that low post guy, that type of probably behind Aaron Baines kind of guy, that he probably will be what Aaron Baines is, sort of, right? I mean, sets picks, goes up, tries to protect the rim, will grab rebounds, will get out there, try to finish in the break. We'll see. Like in Summer League, they, you know, I think he was totally gassed. So I've said that a million times on the show. You say that they didn't use him right. He said they didn't use him right. They weren't feeding him right in the post. They didn't give him touches. When he got touches, he did a little bit better. But I don't know. I don't see a lot of Ante Zizic posting up in the NBA regular season. So I just don't see him used very often at all. I think the better question is, how are the Red Claws going to use him?
Yeah, we'll see how. Obviously, his rebounding will be a plus. He's a tough kid. He's a hardworking kid. I think there are a lot of areas, especially perimeter defense and sliding his feet, that he's going to need to work on. And especially in the Celtics system, big guys are often ball handlers around the three-point arc. And when Brad was saying that they used him wrong, it was often like they were just using him in the Celtics system in ways that the Celtics have used their big men like Al Horford, Kelly Olynyk, even Amir Johnson, who was using that way too. So they might have to add some new things for Zizic to be like a pick and roll guy. And we'll see. I'm intrigued to see how he fits. I'm intrigued to see what type of role he has. I don't suspect he'll play a lot of minutes. I think they'll play a lot of small lineups. I think Aaron Baines will be their primary either backup center or like starter in like a token starter role. So I don't expect Zizic or Yabusele to play like regular roles this year. But if they do, it'll surprise me.
That's going to hurt a lot of people's feelings.
Sorry, guys.
Grant Williamson at GT Williamson 33 with a small army of small forwards but few big men. How will the Seas be on the glass this year, and how much does it hurt them as contenders?
I think they'll be better on the glass. I think Aaron Baines is going to make a difference, especially compared to Amir Johnson, the guy whose minutes he's going to take. Baines is a physical guy. He's a tough guy. I think the rest of the players, they're just longer. And I know Avery Bradley got a lot of rebounds last season, but they were rebounds the Celtics were probably going to get anyways. It wasn't like he was getting like super tough rebounds. I think Jaylen Brown is a plus rebounder for shooting guard, small forward, whatever he's going to play. I think Jason Tatum has great rebounding instincts, especially for a young guy. I think, you know, obviously Crowder is a physical wing, and Marcus Morris isn't a great rebounder, but he's another physical wing. And I think they'll be able to switch enough that they'll be able to keep guys in front of them. Hayward gives them a lot more length. I just think there's a lot more length there, and that because of like up and down the roster, they're longer and taller and probably more athletic. I think that'll bode well for them as rebounders. Like Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, those guys are both plus rebounders for guards. I think their perimeter guys are much better rebounders for the coming season. So I do think they'll improve. I don't think that'll be quite as big an issue as it was this past season.
Yeah, I agree with basically everything you just said. The Celtics don't need to be good rebounders. They just need to not be horrible rebounders. So when you have the length on the wing, they can stop maybe some of those guys from swooping in. And in a pinch, if you have a guy like Tristan Thompson or Marcin Gortat destroying you, Aron Baynes can come in and bang with them and kind of stem that tide. So I think the rebounding is going to be better. Good enough. Not great, but good enough. At K_Lub, Caleb Vallotton asks, with Tatum's post-up scoring ability, do you see him playing some minutes as a four this year? I will say that the 3-4-2, whatever like that, he'll play kind of a very fluid position. We've got to start getting a little bit more into that positionless mindset. He will probably post up against some bench fours because some of those bench fours won't be too tough a matchup, but it's not going to be against everybody. And his ability to score in the post is seemingly really good. It was really good in summer league. The footwork is, as advertised, what everybody talks about, amazing. And he gets shots off that he will probably be able to get off in the NBA. My only concern is, in the post, if he faces stronger guys, he'll start 10 feet from the basket, but get pushed 13 feet from the basket. And by the time he fades away, he's 17 feet from the basket, and it's a little bit further out than he wanted. And a bunch of those, at least early in the season post-ups, will end up being front-rimmed because he's getting pushed out further than he's comfortable with because he just needs to get stronger. That's part of his progression. He needs to get that base stronger so he can hold his position when he gets into that post and then do his work. So, yeah, we'll see him post. Yeah, we'll see him against some bench fours. But it's not going to be a big feature, and it's definitely not going to be, to me, I don't think it's going to be as much as we'll see it in year 2, 3, and 4 of his career.
Yeah, I don't think he's physical enough, strong enough to play a lot of four right away. I think over time he'll develop into that. He's obviously 6'8", he's long, and he has great rebounding instincts. Like he really does know how to rebound the basketball, and he's really good at getting the ball high and out-rebounding guys. I was really impressed by his rebounding instincts during summer league, and I watched a lot of Duke because I'm a Duke fan. Shout out to the Blue Devils. But he's a plus rebounder, so I'm interested to see how many minutes he can play at four, because he's not like this physically mature guy. He's not coming in as Jaylen Brown with like this sculpted body. He's very much a 19-year-old physically. So I think he's got some work to do before he plays a bulk of minutes at the four, but one day he's gonna turn into a matchup nightmare because he's going to be able to post up smaller guys. He's going to be able to go by quicker guys. And once he gets some strength on that frame, he's going to be really tough to guard.
Let's go down to Australia. Justin Hunter at Aus Celtics fan. With the addition of Aron Baynes, how often do you envision that Al Horford will play his natural power forward position? Is that a good combo? I would imagine that. I think Aron Baynes gets spot starts in, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he started against Washington and Cleveland. I keep bringing them up, but like, or the Clippers. With the teams that are bigger and tougher on the post, like they'll just throw Baynes in those situations. But I really think the Celtics are at their best, as you mentioned earlier, when Horford is at the five. And I think he's starting to figure out how to play the five, where before he was playing the five and in a more, you know, against more traditional centers. I think now playing the five for Horford means what his natural point, I keep saying point, power forward, Freudian slip, I guess, that natural position that he used to play, you can play that as a five now. So I think the answer is that the way the Celtics will use him will be more natural to him, but it will still be the five. It'll just be the evolution of the game. That's what it is. And he'll, I think, Horford, Baines or not, is going to play a more natural position that's just part of the evolution of the game.
Yeah, we saw him in the playoffs when he was unleashed as a five. He just took advantage of Marcin Gortat and took advantage of Robin Lopez. Now, not every team is going to have traditional centers like those guys, but Horford at the five is just a problem because he can pick and pop, he can attack closeouts, he can really do a lot of things. I think their best lineups this year will be with Horford at the five. I think their small lineups will be longer with Marcus Morris, Jay Crowder, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, all guys 6'7 and above who can guard a lot of positions, do a lot of things both offensively and defensively. So I think those small lineups will be really good for them. I think Horford at the five is how they're going to close most games. And I mean, it's possible Baines will start at center. It's possible Baines and Horford will play together a fair amount. But I think when it's closing time, it'll be Horford at the five with some other wings and then Isaiah Thomas and obviously Gordon Hayward.
That's a good place to end it. We're out of time. So Jay King will also address some of these questions on masslive.com. If for
a shout out.
There you go. If for some reason you do not follow him on masslive.com, if you're only a podcast listener, by all means, go to masslive.com and find Jay King's stuff. We don't shout out your
stuff.
We don't shout out your written work as often as we should. But whatever questions we didn't get here, Jay will be addressing in the Mass Live piece. He will add to some of these answers. He will answer some that we didn't get to. Thank you for listening. If you are a subscriber, great. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a good review. Let the folks know why they should be reading us, why they should be subscribing. Find us if you're not a subscriber.
Because we're the best.
We're the best. Damn right. So go search Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. We are also on Spotify. Find us on Spotify. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, the TuneIn app. We are everywhere. Subscribe to us. And, of course, go to Boston Paintball. BostonPaintball.com. Take a tour of all of their 3 facilities. Figure out where you want to go play first. Then use the coupon code GREEN to book and get a $50 off your group package. Thanks for listening. We're back next week here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Fall has arrived at JCPenney, the perfect time to refresh your home. From now until Sunday, get up to 50% off select comforter sets, furniture, and the most comfortable mattresses from top brands like Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, Beautyrest, and more. And save 50 to 60% on select sheet sets, plus an extra 15% with your coupon on select home items. Hurry, end soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Coupon valid 9/28 to 10/9 on select home items, furniture, and mattresses. Prices valid 9/28 to 10/1. Selections vary by store while supplies last. Fittings on regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.